It's one of those Michael Jackson songs that you kind of forget about, though it was a number one hit. On this day in 1988, Michael Jackson became the first artist to have five number one singles from one album, when this one, Dirty Diana, went to the top of the charts. The other four chart toppers from Bad, can you name them? Bad, I Just Can't Stop Loving You, which I could not even hum the melody to, I don't think. The Way You Make Me Feel, and Man in the Mirror, along with Dirty Diana, number one on this day in 1988. Five number one singles from the same album from Michael Jackson. Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve here on the Steve Gruber Show, Tuesday morning. Joining us now on the phone lines is Clark Packard, Trade Policy Counsel at R Street Institute. Find R Street at RSI on Twitter. Clark's at Clark_Packard on Twitter. Clark, thanks for joining us here on the Steve Gruber Show.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate the time. We talk a little trade. There's certainly enough to talk to on Donald Trump's policies, tariffs, and trade deals. I did want to ask first. I see the point. I did not watch all 4 hours. I watched most of the Democratic debates last Wednesday and Thursday. Was this issue discussed in any sort of detail about tariffs and trade and what a potential Democratic president would do differently than what we see right now?
So out of the 4 hours of debate, there was about 2 to 3 minutes in conversation about what to do with China. But nothing substantive, and it was pretty short, which is really, frankly, a little disappointing given the gravity of the situation between the United States and China.
And where we stand right now, I know we keep having these discussions. There are talks between the China and the U.S. Are we any closer to a deal? Are we any closer to having something done between these two countries?
That's a good question. So obviously at the G20 in Osaka, Japan last weekend, the United States and China agreed to continue having conversations. These negotiations had been ongoing since, I guess, right around September of last year, September or October. And then the conversations broke off in about mid-May. And then, we went 5 or 6 weeks with no talks, and then it looks like talks are back on. I'm sort of the opinion that it's always better to engage with China. The United States and China are the two largest economies in the world. They're incredibly intertwined. So I think that talking is good, but we need to get some more concrete action, particularly on the Chinese side, before we can kind of claim that this is a win for either the United States or China.
One of the points that we want to see in a China trade deal, Clark, we hear about intellectual property and China respecting, trademarks and things like that. Is that one of the main issues to be hashed out here in the talks between the two countries?
It is, yeah. Look, if you go back and take a glance at the United States Trade Representative, Bob Lighthizer, put out a report about a year ago, and he lays out 4 or 5 significant challenges that the U.S. businesses face doing business in China, and as well as sort of, broader themes like intellectual property theft and abuse. Another complaint the United States raises is that American firms, when they want to open up and start doing business in China, the Chinese government, as a condition of doing business, forces American firms to find a joint venture partner in China and hand over, trade secrets and proprietary information. And the issue is, in the United States, we have a pretty clear dividing line between the government and the private sector. But in China, you don't know whether or not if you're a microchip maker, if you're going to make these chips in China, if they are going to then take the technology, your joint venture partner in China, and pass that information along to the Chinese government. They, in other words, they don't have this sort of strict dividing line between the public and the private that the United States does.
Clark Packard with us, Trade Policy Council, R Street Institute, at RSI on Twitter. You can find them there and also rstreet.org. How does the lack of a trade deal with China, or how does the status quo negatively impact consumers here in the U.S. currently?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's right, that the United States at this point has imposed, I guess, tariffs on right around $500 billion worth of imports from China. And what you're seeing is that those costs are being borne by American consumers. Essentially, a tariff works as a regressive sales tax at the border. And no matter how many times the president says, no, China is paying these tariffs, the economic data is pretty clear that American consumers are paying the price for these tariffs. What I will give the president credit for, though, and you kind of touched on it at the beginning, is that policymakers in Washington, D.C. are exhausted. We've been down this road with China before. They promise to change their behavior, and they don't follow through. And so the president should deserve some credit for really getting the attention of Beijing and Xi Jinping in particular, that maybe this time is different than we've seen in the past.
Has the president been using tariffs to the country's advantage? We see what happened in Mexico. It's almost a totally different deal because he was trying to use trade policy to impact immigration policy with Mexico.
Right.
And there was some movement on that end. Have we seen effects here in the U.S. from the tariffs that have been laid out thus far?
Yeah. Look, the New York Fed put out a study about a month ago. 3 weeks ago, maybe a month ago, that essentially said that the average American family, assuming these tariffs will continue, will pay about $400 to $500 more next year for basic everyday expenses and everyday living. That certainly hurts people on the margins that can't afford a $400 or $500 hit. But if you press the United States Trade Representative and the Trump administration more generally, they say, look, this is, we acknowledge there's going to be some pain. But if we don't get this right sooner rather than later, the theft of intellectual property and all of these more holistic issues are going to really jeopardize the future of this country. And so that's sort of their argument. And to be fair, some members of their administration at least acknowledge that these things, these tariffs, have costs for American consumers.
Clark Packard from R Street. Find it at rstreet.org. He's on Twitter at Clark_Packard. Trade Policy Council at R Street. Clark, thank you so much for jumping on the Steve Gruber Show. Appreciate it.
Yep. Thanks for having me. Take care.
Thank you. Clark Packard from R Street. Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve here on the Steve Gruber Show.
Wyckoff Wellness welcomes back Dr. Chi for individual fingernail and tongue analysis June 10th through 15th. Fingernail and tongue changes may indicate problems with digestion, heart disease, blood sugar problems, and more. Call Wyckoff Wellness at 517-333-7270 to schedule your individual evaluation with Dr. Chi for only $40. Appointments are limited. Wyckoff Wellness in East Lansing is also hosting a free seminar with Dr. Chi Tuesday, June 11th at 6 p.m. Call 517-333-7270 to schedule today or go to wyckoffwellness.com.
For more than 65 years, Enbridge has been safely delivering the North American energy you rely on to fuel your vehicle, heat your home, and power commerce and manufacturing. We're proud to be a part of communities across Michigan and contribute millions in local property taxes each year, which helps support schools, emergency responders, and local government needs. At Enbridge, we're helping to fuel your quality of life. Learn more at Enbridge.com/Michigan. Enbridge. Life takes energy.
We're here with Dr. Andrew McCursey, radiologist with Sparrow Hospital. Dr. McCursey, Sparrow has expanded its radiology services to Sparrow Health Center Lansing. What's offered there?
We have a full array of imaging services at the health center. We have MRI, CT, 3D digital mammography, ultrasound, digital x-ray, and bone density.
What are the advantages for the patients who go there?
Our patients love the convenient location. They also love the easy in-and-out parking. And they also love the ability to schedule examinations after hours, both on the evenings and the weekends.
How can people learn more about Sparrow's radiology services?
To learn more, they can go to sparrow.org/radiology-services.
That's sparrow.org/radiology-services. We've been speaking to Dr. Andrew McCursey, radiologist with Sparrow Hospital, about how Sparrow has expanded its radiology services to Sparrow Health Center Lansing. Choose wisely. Choose Sparrow.